Powerful at Work Radio, episode 65. Welcome to Powerful at Work Radio, the podcast for business owners like you who value each person and desire to lead powerfully. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon, and it is my goal to help you secure your legacy and make a real impact by establishing a culture where all are empowered to be more creative and efficient without all the burnout and people issues. If you're ready to do things differently, tune in and join the movement. Now let's get after it. Blake Schofield is a founder of Connections Illuminated, a mom of three and former corporate executive who spent 18 years in corporate America building, growing, and turning around 8- and 9-figure businesses. Despite her success, Blake constantly found herself feeling unsettled, chasing the next job or promotion to make it better so she could finally do fulfilling work and be able to have the time she wanted to have less stressful and more present family life. Blake's personal journey through three career changes, years of seeking the right path for her life, overcoming the fear and doubt of forging a new path, and successfully building and running her own multi-6-figure businesses is the basis of the work she does every day.
Good morning, Blake Schofield, joining us all the way from Dallas, Texas. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to interview you, and let's get a talk started about your journey through changing through several different careers and moving across the country. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I often say, you know, one of the things I always say first is I'm a mom of three kiddos. People often drop their mouth. When I spent 18 years actually in corporate retail and worked in 3 different states, 5 different companies, really had a great trajectory for my career. I was very successful in what I was doing, but ultimately spent honestly the vast majority of my career going through cycles of being fulfilled when I would get the new job, energized and passionate, to then feeling frustrated, unfulfilled, unhappy, and really feeling like my work was bleeding into my life. My whole story really and how I ended up leaving corporate and building the business that I built starting in 2017 really came from a lifetime of trying to figure out how I could do challenging and fulfilling work without sacrificing my peace of mind, my ability to be present with my family, my health, and all of those things. And so today, that's the work that I do, is really help women be able to align work with their skills, gifts, and passions, and do so right where they can maximize all of the parts of their life, their income, their impact, their health, their family.
And you know what, before we can get started on how we change that, because as I'm hearing you talk, it sounds like a pie in the sky to so many people, like, yeah, that's not possible. How did we get to a place where the essentials, that should be basic? It shouldn't be a pie in the sky. It should be the bare minimum. Like, we should live the life of fulfillment and of excitement and of joy and of enjoying our families. How did we end up to where it became normal to be burnt out?
Yeah, you know, such a great question. I studied quite a bit about this. I think there's a couple of things. Number one, there's the generational factor, right? Mm-hmm. Our grandmothers struggled to be treated equally, to get paid well. When they went to work, it was right very clear that they weren't equal. And so women grew up with this perspective of you have to work really hard, you have to sacrifice and do all of these things. And then I think we got to my mom's generation, and it was the first generation where it was like women are starting to gain equality, right? Women are starting to become successful. And I think at that point, then you also have the convergence of more technology. Things never turn off. And I think what happened is we have generations where, as women, we've been raised to believe we have to take care of everybody else. It's selfish to take care of ourselves. Our responsibility is to be that perfect person, the perfect mom, the perfect employee, the perfect leader, right? And it has just snowballed into this impact where it's become normalized, right? Normalized to behave that way and to think that that's how life is. And I think there are not enough women who have built the skills, knowledge, understanding, and aligned their life to be able to show it another way. And that's a huge part of my passion and really the work I do every day and the work that I'm really doing with my clients ultimately, as well as to create more of those stories so that women begin to realize what we used to have to do to be successful at work is no longer. There's more opportunity to make money. There are more ways of which you can make money based on your skills than there ever have been. And change starts with us.
Yes.
50% of the workforce, and we're 14% of the C-suite. There's a problem there. It's not because women are not as smart as men, right? There's a problem. There's a problem in that women feel like, I don't know that I want to move up any higher in my career because I see that as sacrifice, because I don't know how to do it any differently, right?
Let's unpack that a little more, because I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves. So you're talking about being raised a certain way, but that actually feeds into our nature of taking care of others, of being excellent at things. You don't want to just do things half-baked just to check a box. There's meaning behind it. And I think that that's a part of our character that in some cases, when as women, we've tried to succeed, we feel like we need to give that up. And that's not the truth. What I realized in my own journey is that I could show up that way. I just needed to know my boundaries and have some things in place. So I want to make sure that we don't feel like we got to give up one for the other. We can change the way the atmosphere is and the way that we do business in order to accommodate who we are. I'll give an example. In my profession, primarily, I come from a law enforcement background. The elite of our profession is the SWAT team. And the rules to get in, even though SWAT operations have changed to you don't break down doors as much, you wait and you call people out, it's a thinking game. The way to get in is still very much plays into the strengths of men, even though the real need is mental agility. And it doesn't mean there's not a place for strength. It just means that as a woman, I don't want to eat off chicken breasts and broccoli every day, right? I don't want my body to look like a man's body in order to be able to participate in that. And I think because those are the people in charge, they get to make the rules and play to their own strengths. And I don't fault them for that. But we need to change that, because when we have 14%, that 14% hopefully can start changing the rules for us to accommodate our strengths, because we need those strengths. We need each other.
I totally agree with you. And I would also challenge that you don't need to be in the C-suite to change the corporate culture.
There you go.
Right?
Tell me more.
We have so many women that are leaders that aren't leading their leaders and creating the change, right? You have 50% of the workforce. If that 50% of the workforce was as banded together about creating the change that needed to happen, it would happen, because corporations can't survive without us, right?
Yes.
But the challenge is that we either don't have the skills, right? And there is a ton around understanding how to create boundaries, understanding how your brain works and creating schedules, habits, processes that enable you to actually be fulfilled, focus on the things that really move life forward, and also really make sure you're prioritizing the things that matter to you. But then we also don't know or have the skills about how do we have some of those conversations? How do we advocate for ourselves? How do we create that change? And when we create that change for ourselves, what I see consistently, what I saw in my career, what I see consistently with my clients, is they then create that ripple effect that empowers and creates that change across the organization. And so I would challenge people that are saying, well, I'm not in the C-suite, that I can't do anything. That's completely not true. You absolutely play a part in creating that change for yourself, but you can also create that change for other people around you as well. And that's one of the things that I'm really passionate about. And I just love seeing when my clients finish our work together and they say, you know, I feel for the first time in my life empowered to create the life that I want. And now I go out and I help other people because I've learned the things. I understand why they're stuck, and I understand how to help them to be able to create change for themselves.
That's leadership 101 right there. Go create more leaders. Absolutely. And you're talking about basically everyone in the workforce having a stake in the game here. And I agree with you. The leadership does start at the top, because I'm a big leadership person, but the workforce has to respond. And I think that some of it does come to shedding light for the leader, opening up and saying, hey, I know you want to go in this direction. Let me help you. Let me share with you what's working and what's not working. Because people at the grassroots level, or boots on the ground, so to speak, they see a totally different perspective than the leader. And unless we're all working together, no one person has it all.
100%. I think one of the biggest ahas I had through moving through my career, and I've worked in fantastic environments and I've worked in toxic, challenging environments. And sometimes I worked in environments that would have been healthy for someone else, but they were toxic for me, right? We have to understand how we work best,
right?
The right types of environments for us to align our skills and gifts with as well. But what I've ultimately come to truly understand, having spent the last 4 years, like really diving heavily into this, is that the corporate environment as it has existed was really built for men. It's very unemotional, right? It's really structured in a certain way. It lacks some of the humanity that's really needed to truly be able to create the type of successful environments and the type of results that companies really want to create. There needs to be more humanity brought back into corporate America. I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago, and it was a CEO, and it was a really interesting conversation. And then he said something that I literally was like, how can I get on the phone with this man right now? He said, I don't believe that emotions belong in the work.
Oh boy.
Unless you're celebrating. And wow. I was like, first of all, my first reaction was, wow, this is a man who clearly has had some experiences in his life or he's uncomfortable dealing with emotion.
Right.
So the limiting beliefs, fears, childhood things we don't deal with come back, right? And they're influencing our every single day, but we don't even realize it. So to me, I was like, wow, this man clearly has some uncomfortableness with dealing with feelings. Right. But even more so than that, what I think he's missing is we are not robots.
Yes.
Every single person is going into work with emotions. Right. Every single person has fears or doubts or anxieties or things that they're excited about, or they're overwhelmed or pulled in a million directions. And when we aren't addressing those things inside an organization and we tell people it's not okay to have emotions, it's not okay to work through this stuff, what we're doing is creating significant inefficiencies because they can't focus. They can't get the work done. We're creating environments where people are redoing things constantly,
right,
where they don't feel comfortable to have the right conversations to actually align on expectations and move forward. So what we're doing is we're literally taking productivity and success, and we're probably cutting it by 2/3. But yes, not only that, we're losing our best employees.
And that's all measured. There's stats on all of that.
We have a workforce that's disengaged by and large across the United States. And we wonder why that is, but we have environments where people don't feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't talking and there's not open communication. And when those things don't exist, we create toxic environments. We create environments, right, where there's stress and anxiety and people don't feel like they can show up to really create their best lives either.
You're right. And that's exactly what I thought when you talked about the humanity and the workforces. We know that relationships are everything. When we have this type of environment that you're describing, connection is lost. Real authentic connection. We can be driven and achieve a great success and hit all our numbers and even achieve rising in the ranks. But the connection becomes artificial the further we deepen into that mode. And then that becomes a norm. And I feel like that's been the norm. And that's what we need to change because we don't want artificial relationships. They feel artificial. That's not fulfilling.
Yeah, 100%. Not only is it not fulfilling, but if we're only measuring success by our achievements.
Yes.
Right. There's a bigger problem. And I can say that because the vast majority of women I work with are in their mid-careers and have been incredibly successful. And they are personally really unhappy.
Yes.
That success has come at a massive cost to their family, to their health, to their peace of mind. So I think, again, this is where we look at it is impacting the organization in really significant ways. And if they're only looking at achievement and hitting goals, number one, you're probably not even realizing the goals and opportunities that are sitting ahead of you that you don't even think are achievable because 60 some odd percent of your workforce is disengaged. But then your top performers are wearing themselves out because they don't have the skills and the tools and the structure and the ability to advocate for the changes they need. And so this is why we've got those people constantly also turning through organizations.
Put you on the spot for a second, because you made a statement right when you were talking about women who go through their career and they're unhappy, and you were very emotional. And for our listeners that can't see you, I think sometimes we're afraid of emotions because we think we're going to have this meltdown in front of everyone. And I just want to highlight that you just gave us an example of being emotionally and heart-centered about an idea that is really tragic, that you invest your whole career as a woman and you're not happy. And that's tragic. And you connected with that.
Yeah. I mean, that certainly was my story. And it's the story of the women that I work with every day. I will say for me personally, and what I see and hear from my clients all of the time is that they've been told that it's not okay to be emotional in the workforce, or they've been made to feel guilty or uncomfortable or weak for being that way. I multiple times in my corporate career broke down in tears and I felt guilty and embarrassed and ashamed afterwards. I had environments where I was told that I can tell that you don't really like that thing and that's not okay. You just need to show like only the good stuff. And what I really have come to understand about that is that's really toxic.
Yes.
You're telling someone to ignore who they are. Our emotions are intended to be gifts, to be able to propel and move us forward. And when we stuff down our emotions, when we ignore them, when we feel like we can't express them, we create toxicity in our lives, in our health, and everything else. And so a huge part of what I talk to women, and I was talking to a client about this recently, she's like, well, I don't want to go to someone with a problem. and not have a solution. And I'm like, oh, I completely agree with you. That drove me crazy. In my corporate life, I used to say, don't just tell me the news. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't just come with the problem. But I think the problem is we often haven't been taught, how do you utilize your emotions in a strategic way that doesn't just dump the emotion or dump the problem, but actually says and uses your intuition, your experience, and a strategy to come to somebody and say, here's the context of what I've been experiencing and what's going on, right? Here's the context of what's happening with this problem. Here's what I've been experiencing and what's been going on. That's a great place to talk about the emotion. Mm-hmm. And then you can talk about what is it that you need help with, or what are the things that you feel like you could contribute to help solve that problem.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Powerful at Work Radio. If you're ready for more freedom from the day-to-day so you can properly rest, dream, and be more effective as a business owner, I want to invite you to our upcoming free training where I'm going to share my easy 5-part process for making sure your team feels truly seen, heard, and understood. For more details or to register for the training, visit rosaponceleon.com. There, you'll also find tons of resources for growing as a business owner so you can go all in on your team while they go all in on bringing your vision to life.
You're talking about showing up with our mind and our heart in alignment. Yes. I think sometimes we haven't worked it out on both ends and we don't show up cohesive that way.
And some of the reasons
that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I talk to my clients that I use what I call an empowered question format, but it utilizes somewhat of that format. I think oftentimes we don't do that because we're overwhelmed. So we don't understand how to process through our emotions, use them to benefit us. Right. Or number two, we again are stuffing down until it becomes a breaking point of which we become overly emotional and we can't channel it or use it in the right way.
Right.
So I really want to challenge people to think about it differently. I think men also struggle with this as well. I just think it's more typical versus women. We tend to feel and experience and use our intuition. We use our relationships and our emotions to be successful in our work every single day.
Yes.
That's why we're successful.
Excellent communicators because of it.
Yes. We're excellent communicators. We're excellent leaders. We care about really developing our team, but we're not always equipped with the right skills, habits, boundaries to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
And if we take care of ourselves, right, eventually we can't take care of anyone else.
And I think part of it is that issue that you said is we can't just measure the success by the numbers, right? I think we need to measure character in evaluations. It's always about performance, which I agree with. That needs to be an evaluated thing. But also, what are the character traits that make this person relational and make this person successful in bringing the team together and helping the team perform at a higher level? And those things are hard to measure. And I think we've drawn away from that as employers and as businesses to not develop them in that way, because we need to recognize those character flaws. And we need to even give them more importance, I think, than the numbers, because we could crush the numbers if we have those characteristics.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear you say that. I guess I would say, I think there are some companies that are definitely moving in this arena.
Direction. Good.
Really understand this impact. I think too, we also have to understand as leaders inside organizations that results are created differently. Mm-hmm. And you need people that will create the top and bottom line numbers, but you also really need the people that are the problem solvers, yes, that connect the dots, that lead the team, that create the strategy and vision and move people forward. Those are equally as important, because if you only have people that can drive top and bottom line, but you do not have these people that are driving the other functions inside an organization, you will fail. So I think looking at that from a broader standpoint, understanding who is your team, mm-hmm, who's on your team, and what are the things you really need to accomplish to be successful, as well as where are you placing people based on their skill sets, and are they in the right seat based on their unique gifts and skills to drive things forward? I have clients who literally can solve some of the most complex problems, mm-hmm, because of their ability truly to see holistically across silos and,
yes,
be able to problem solve things, figure out an entire strategy 3 to 4 steps ahead of everyone else, and then align a team towards that movement. Obviously, that movement creates results on the end, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But that person who can orchestrate and see and drive that,
yes,
is incredibly valuable to an organization.
Yes.
Incredibly valuable. And oftentimes I think, again, we look too much from a limit standpoint about where and how people add value. Also, I'll be honest, I think people really struggle to define their own value. And that's a huge part of what I do with my clients. So
right,
I see it every day.
Right.
If you don't understand your value, you're never going to be able to A, communicate it to somebody else, or B, really push and continue to grow or develop those skills. And I see that so often inside organizations. And so often, like I said, with the women I work with who are unfulfilled, it's like, well, you're unfulfilled because you're either doing work that's misaligned with what you're good at, you're not spending enough time using what your skills are, you're unaware of what your skills are, or you're in an environment that really doesn't align. And until you get sort of, as I say, all arrows going in the right direction, you can't make that
struggle, right?
And we're expecting organizations to be able to connect the dots about who you are and what you're good at. And the reality is they can't. We have to be responsible.
We have to show up. Absolutely. Leadership starts with ourselves. I completely agree. And as we start to wrap up, you're saying there are organizations that are getting it right. And I agree with you. I obviously do think we're in this business because there's people that want this. But what are the kind of things that people can do? Quick little practical things on how to showcase those more hidden talents that don't stick out, but boy, you know when they're not there. You know when that person, that problem solver is not on the team because you feel it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first and foremost, it starts with really going deep to understand who you are and what you're uniquely gifted at. The challenge with that is you can't see the label from inside the bottle. The things that come easiest to you, you will disregard, but they're likely the things that add the biggest value. So one of the easiest things you can do to try and dive into that, at least as an initial standpoint, is to ask some of the people you work with, what is it you think I'm best and most gifted at? If you had to describe, and there was only one thing I could do for the rest of my career, what is that one thing that you would say about me? Right. And then take that and start diving deeper. If it's something that you don't love and you're not passionate about, there's a clear understanding there, I would tell you, that you aren't living in your skills and you're doing things that you're good at, but not passionate about. So if there's a disconnect and that person says that and you're like, well, yeah, but I don't really love it, that is a key sign of misalignment and more deep work that needs to be done to identify.
And it does happen because you've basically assimilated to the culture around you and you kind of went passive a little bit and you can fix it. Just recognizing it is the big deal there.
Yes. Recognizing that there's a disconnect. Yeah. And by the way, just because you're good at it doesn't mean you should do it, right? Yeah. Use your gifts, the things you love doing the most, the things you're most passionate about, and make a really good income doing it.
Right.
Across all different industries, levels of work, type of work. And I think that's the biggest thing I hope somebody will take from this. So in terms of figuring out what you're good at, start by asking if what they're saying you're passionate, excited about, great, dive deeper. If there's a significant misalignment, you're not excited about what they're saying you're good at, that's a place really to dive deeper and get some experts help.
And for the leaders listening, I would encourage the leaders to talk to their people too, because if your people are not self-aware, help them through this process because they need to become self-aware so they can help you to be a resource to them.
100%. And the more you help them become aware, the better they'll be inside the organization. And also the more loyalty you'll have, as long as you're giving them those opportunities to grow in the way that they're naturally gifted and interested in growing.
Totally. And for those that are interested in hearing more about you, Blake, where can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, probably the easiest place, because we're listening via podcast, is I have my own podcast. It's called The Bridge to Fulfillment. We talk all about career, life, family, and really being able to create more fulfilling career and life on your terms. I also have women come in to share their success stories and really help empower and open up the possibilities for what's possible for us. So I would encourage you, would love to see you there. Again, it's called The Bridge to Fulfillment, and it's on all the podcast platforms.
Wonderful. We'll have that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Blake. And we look forward to hearing your podcast as well.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Powerful at Work Radio. If you subscribe now, you're going to hear from some truly amazing guests who will help you shift into a new approach to leadership so you can develop a healthy relationship with your team and truly maximize your impact. We'll explore stories from experts who are daring to do work differently, and we want to invite you into the conversation. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. We're excited to help you lead a high-performance team with simple advice that you can start using right now for maximum results.